Arjuna vacha drishve mam svajanam krishna yayutsam samupastitam siddhanti mamagatrani mukam cha purushushyati.
Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up." So now, Arjuna begins to give his reasons for not fighting the war. And here, or indicated in text 27 and now spoken directly in text 28, is his first reason. And this is compassion for his relatives, his svajana. We will see him give five reasons, and then Krishna will systematically counter all of those reasons, one after another, in his preaching, in chapter 2 and 3, and throughout the whole book, but you see it directly in the next chapters. Prabhupada has commented that such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but due to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? He's a pure devotee, so he's feeling compassion. Now, text 29. Vipatuscha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandivam samsate hastat tvakchaiva paridhayate. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Now, Prabhupada comments, Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely, loss of life. It seems slightly contradictory. How can we reconcile this seeming contradiction?
Loss of life of relatives?
Huh?
Fear the loss of life of relatives.
Well, it seems for his own life. Yes. Any ideas? Yes?
Desirement of Krishna and therefore your own religion.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. It's Krishna's arrangement. But still, are his symptoms out of material fear or out of soft-heartedness? Because in one commentary, Prabhupada says they're not due to weakness, but soft-heartedness. And the next comment, he says they're out of weakness, out of fear. Right? But your answer is coming close to the full understanding of how we can reconcile these two opposing points. Yes.
So Prabhupada first says that it is not because of soft heart. He says that he is a pure devotee.
Yeah.
Just as a acting for the pleasure of Krishna, again, he says that it is because of
Okay, he's taking a role. Anything else? Yes?
Depends on what context Prabhupada wants to be preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So with both respect, Prabhupada points out that a devotee is compassionate, at the same time he should not be weak-hearted.
Should not be?
Weak-hearted.
Weak-hearted. Okay, there's maybe different points of preaching by the commentator. Maybe have, you know, different reasons for commenting. That's true. Anything else?
Compassion is because he is a devotee, and his external manifestation is because of his material need.
Right. Deep in his heart, Arjuna is a pure devotee, and he's soft-hearted and feels love for for all living beings. And externally, well, now he's, Yoga Maya has now enveloped him. And we see that he's speaking in a very strange way. And he's going to act in even a stranger way. So this Yoga Maya is forcing him to behave in a way which is something different. In his heart, he's a pure heart, he's soft-hearted and he's a pure devotee. But his behavior is being filtered through the Yoga Maya. So actually, the role he's playing, he's acting out of fear. But internally, he is a pure devotee, feeling compassion. So his feeling of compassion is being filtered through the Yoga Maya screen, and it's coming out as material fear. But actually, it's not so. So there's these two things. So now, in the next verse, the second reason is being given. And that is of enjoyment, which is perhaps not as elevated or appreciated reason, but still one of his reasons. Nacha shoknomi avastatum brahmadiva chame manaha nimittani chapasyami viparitani keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only cause of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Kesha demon. So, he sees that, I see only causes of misfortune. Which is viparitani, means the opposite to enjoying causes of misfortune. He sees that it's not going to that in spite of winning and getting a kingdom, that will not bring happiness, but rather it will be a cause of distress. And this is the opposite of what he desires. He wants enjoyment. The usual cause of fighting is to win victory and happiness and fame. But he says that those causes I don't see, but rather viparitani, just the opposite thing. Again, Prabhupada mentions about the external features of Arjuna's behavior. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words nimittani, viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him. So instead of enjoying, he'll lament. So this is the first point of enjoyment. And he will continue with this reason in a few more verses. Text 31.
Nacha shreyo nupasyami hatpas vajanam ahave nakamshe vijayam krishna nacha rajam sukhanicha.
I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. So he says, Shreyo anupashyami, na anupashyami. I do not see anything beneficial here. Hatva svajana mahave, by killing my relatives. Nakankshe, I do not desire, because someone, Krishna may say, okay, you don't see anything good from killing your relatives, but you'll win victory and you'll get the kingdom and you'll be able to enjoy in this way. But then he says, Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna. I don't even desire victory, Rajam Sukhanicha, and or kingdom and happiness. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has commented that a warrior who is killed in battle, or he also mentions that a sannyasi or a yogi that leaves his world in a holy place like Kurukshetra attains the heavenly sun planet, but one who kills gets no such sukriti. So Arjuna is understanding that those that he kills will get great benefit, but he won't get that enjoyment because he's the one who's killing them. The one who's winning, the one who wins the battle, doesn't go to the sun planet, but rather he gets the benefit of enjoying the kingdom and the power and the fame. But Arjuna says, Nakankshe, that I don't want this. So therefore, he doesn't see any enjoyment for himself. Because the usual enjoyment of a kshatriya who's killing others on the battlefield is that they get the kingdom. So he says that, Nakankshe Vijayam, I don't want this victory. Nacha Rajam Sukhanicha, the kingdom and the pleasures of the kingdom. I'm not interested in this. So how will I enjoy doing this? You see? So I may win the battle, but I'll suffer greatly because I'm not going to get the same benefit of those who were killed on the battlefield. Those who were killed will attain the sun, will be elevated to the sun planet, but not me. So how will I enjoy? I won't get that sukriti. And by the way, all the persons who were killed on the battlefield attained liberation. But there was two destinations. One to the impersonal Brahma, and one to some Vaikuntha planet or beyond, according to the person's mood of love. In other words, two kinds of moksha were given, or mukti, that is, Sarupya Mukti and Swayuja Mukti. The ones who accepted Krishna was God, they got Sayuja Mukti. And the ones who didn't accept that he was God, or who were unaware of that fact, they got Sayuja Mukti. These two kinds of destinations were there. Now the next four verses further describe that Arjuna is very much concerned with enjoying. We won't chant all of it, so I'll just read the translation. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, When all of those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield, O Madhusudan, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O Janardhan, maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? So we see, he says, Kapriti Syaj Janardhana. The last statement, right? Kapriti Syaj Janardhana. That what pleasure will be there, O Janardhan? And here, we throughout all of these verses, we see some reference to enjoyment, pleasure. Right? He calls him Govinda, who is the one who gives pleasure to the senses. So you're Govinda, you're supposed to give pleasure to my senses. Then where's the pleasure, Govinda? Kim bhoger jivitena va. Where's the bhoga? Where's the enjoyment? What enjoyment will we get? Yesham arte kankshitam no. Right? For why should I desire this? Rajam bhoga sukhanicha. All of these words mean enjoyment, pleasure. And him calling him Govinda is also significant, that Prabhupada mentions. Arjuna indicates, Prabhupada writes, that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses. But Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses, but we are meant to satisfy his senses. So Arjuna is in Maya. He's in Yoga Maya, but he's in Maya. He's acting as if a completely selfish person. And he refers to Krishna as Janardhan, who is the maintainer of all living beings. So, but it also means, Ardhana can mean to destroy, as well as to maintain. Janardhana means Jana, the people, and Ardhana, which means to maintain. But Ardhana can also mean to annihilate, or to kill. So he's saying that you are Janardhana, you're the killer of all people, so you go and kill them. And I'll sit here on the chariot, nice and peaceful. Because since you're already Janardhana, the killer of all living beings, if you kill them, then you won't get any sinful reactions. But if I kill them, then I'll suffer. So since you're Janardhana, you go and kill them. And I'll sit on the chariot. Prabhupada comments, everyone wants to show his opulence to friends and relatives. But Arjuna fears that all his relatives and friends will be killed on the battlefield and he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. This is a common experience, I think, that everyone knows about. This is a typical calculation of material life. Prabhupada also mentions, Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there was any... And if there were any need to kill them, he desired that Krishna kill them personally. Janardhana. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed them before their coming into the battlefield, and that he was only to become an instrument for Krishna. This fact is disclosed in the following chapters, in chapter 11 actually. Right, so he says, O Govinda, you know the activities of all the senses because you are all-knowing. Please understand my mind and tell me what is best for me. I do not know. I know that the pleasures of kingdom will not grant me happiness. Please tell me as a friend what will satisfy me. You are Sarvajna and you can answer all my questions. Now, for the third reason, which is papam eva, sin. Papam eva shrayir asman hait baitan atatayinaha tasman narha bayam hantum dhartarashtratsabhandavan swajanam hi katam hatpa sukhina syama madhava. Sin will overcome us if we slay our such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband, the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? So this one, this verse has a mixture of the second and the third reason. But the third reason is the first thing he says, papam eva. There will certainly be sin if we kill these atitayina, aggressors. Because although in Arthashastra it mentions that there is no sinful reaction for killing one's killings aggressors, which are of six, and are mentioned by Prabhupada in the commentary. One who attacks with deadly weapons, an arson, right, with fire, or with what else? Or with poison, who gives poison, or who steals one's wealth, land, or one's wife. These six things. So if anyone does that, according to Arthashastra, you can kill them and there's no sinful reaction. So Krishna says that, why are you so sure when Arthashastra says the opposite? And then Arjuna says, but Dharma Shastra is higher than Arthashastra, and Dharma Shastra says that there is sin from killing, that one should never kill one's relatives and friends under any circumstance. And we understand from Mahabharata that actually the Kauravas had committed all six of these categories of atitayana, right? And Bhishma was administered poison, and then in Varnavata they tried to kill them with fire. They attacked them with deadly weapons also at various times. And they tried, during the gambling match, they stole all of their wealth and their land, and they even there tried to take their own wife during that. By the mercy of Shakuni. So that's probably the most interesting character in Mahabharata. Actually, I've heard that I think Krishna told the Pandavas that Shakuni is actually our best ally. And the Pandavas couldn't understand. But actually, he was getting revenge for his family members who were put into prison. And that was his way of destroying the family members of the Kauravas. Because the Kauravas had put his family members into prison. So, and this is his sneaky way of, creating this war against Krishna and the Pandavas. And he actually, in a very secret way, destroyed the whole Kaurava family. So here, Krishna is also called Madhava. Arjuna addressing Krishna as Madhava, or the husband of goddess of fortune, is significant in this connection. He wanted to point out to Krishna that as husband of the goddess of fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees. Again, the name Madhava is given here by Arjuna. That you're Madhava, that you're the husband of the goddess of fortune, so why are you asking me to fight and create misfortune? Now the fourth reason is given in the next few verses. Yadyapyete na pashyanti lobho pahata chetasaha kulakshaya padam dosham mitra drohe cha patakam katam na geyam asmabhi papad asma nivartitum kulakshaya padam dosham prapasyat hi janardana. Please notice that the words kulakshaya appears in each of these verses and in verse 39 also, kulakshaya. So this is the fourth reason, kulakshaya, destruction of the kula, or dynasty. O Janardhan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? Prabhupada comments there in 38, that obligation is actually binding when the effect is good. But when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. We were mentioning this the other day in class. Someone may be obliged to do something, but if the effect is bad, then there's no obligation. Of course, if you make a vow, a promise, then it may be something different. Then the rules of Dharma are not so easy to understand, and they become very subtle. Prabhupada writes, a kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party. Under such an obligation, Arjuna could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana. In this connection, Arjuna considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge. Arjuna, however, could see the evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, but when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Considering all these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight. So he had some very good reasons. They're logical. They're shastric. They're good and moral. But they're all wrong. Because Krishna is Dharma personified. And he's there, right, on the chariot with him. And he's going to tell him, no, all your reasons are bogus. Now you must fight. Just like if you're driving your car around Pune, you may come to a red light and you stop your car. Because in front of a red light, you must always stop. That's the rule. But if there is a policeman there standing in the road and he's going like this, then you should follow him. Because it means the light is broken, right? But if you stop your car and the policeman's going like this and you say, the light, look at the light, and he says, and you go, then there's going to be a battle, right? So Krishna is like the, you know, because the policeman is like the personification of the law. And he knows, according to time, place, and circumstance, what should be done and what should not be done. In this circumstance, the light is broken. So you should follow him. That's why he's there. That's why he's standing going like this. But Arjuna is, in this chapter, he's pointing at the light to Krishna. He's saying, but look, it is said the general rule is like this, Krishna. And Krishna's saying, hey, come on, Arjuna. Let's fight. Let's do it. Come on. And this is the difference between usual, the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. If someone is too much absorbed in the letter of the law, then they won't understand the proper application of the law in a particular circumstance. Now Krishna can and obviously knows that proper application because he has assimilated all of the Dharmic Shastras. And he is the source. Vedeshchasayavam aham eva vedyo. Vedanta krit. He is the one who made all the Vedas. So He has completely assimilated all of them and he can apply them to time, place and circumstance. So we have to become like Krishna. We have to understand all the dharmas fully. All the different arguments of the absolute truth, which is like a magnificent diamond with many facets. And we understand all those facets. Then we can understand how to apply dharma in a particular circumstance. If we don't assimilate the philosophy, but we just repeat it, you know, like a parrot, or blindly accept things without thinking deeply about them, then we won't know later when we have to apply it in a particular circumstance. We won't know what to do. We'll start running back and start to look at the Bhagavad Gita and look through our notes and the heart. But someone who has actually used his intelligence to understand all the facets of the Shastras deeply, then he will be able to assimilate everything and actually be part of it in his blood. The understanding of Dharma will be in his blood and he'll be able to apply it. So Krishna is naturally like that. And Arjuna is acting out the role of someone who has not assimilated the Dharma, the Shastras. And he's just pointing to what he has understood, what he has heard in the past, without understanding the circumstances. So now, from text 39 going forward, there are the ramifications of Kulakshaya. It's the same reason, but they are just the ramifications when you destroy the dynasty. 39. Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanaha dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharma bhimavatyuta. So once there's Kulakshaya, then dharme nashte. Right? The dharma is destroyed. And then adharma becomes to flourish. When the destruction of, with the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished. Kula dharma sanatana. And the rest of the family becomes involved in adharma. Text 40. Adharma bhivavat krishna pradushyanti kulastriya strishu dushtasu vashneya jayate varna shankaraha. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. So adharma bhivavat krishna. The dharma becomes prominent. Then pradushyanti kulastriya. The ladies become polluted. And then Strishu, Dushtashu, Varshneya, Jayate Varnasankara. Then Varnasankara takes birth. And here, notice Arjuna refers to Krishna as Varshneya. That you're asking me to destroy my dynasty, but you're from the Vrishni dynasty. Would you destroy your dynasty? No. So come on, Varshneya. Don't ask me to do this. Commentators have mentioned that women will think that our husbands acted irreligiously and destroyed a dynasty. We will also act irreligiously. Baladeva Nibhushan mentions this. Because women are simple, they see the leaders, the husbands, they're acting irreligiously. Then they think, we will also do it. Right? Just like in India, we see that men gave up wearing dhotis and wear pants. And now the women are also wearing pants and driving around on scooters. That's the nature of women. They say, the men are doing like that. They're having fun driving around. We'll also do it. That is the nature of the woman. They like to, they follow like in this way. Right? The men never could imagine, you know, whatever it was 30, 40 years ago, when they gave up wearing dhotis, that women would also wear pants. They couldn't even imagine it, right? 40 years ago, when the men started wearing pants, or whatever it was, maybe more. But anyway, some time later. But now, the women are wearing pants also. They can't even imagine. So whatever the men will do, then the women will follow and think, oh, they're enjoying it, we will also do like that. That our husbands acted irreligiously, we'll also. And now Varnasankara. Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasya cha patanti pitaro yesham lupta pindoraka kriyaha. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Right? So the pinda offerings stop. So therefore, the ancestors who are in Pitri Loka fall down from their nice position and they fall to hell. Because that's the offerings is the thing that keeps them up there. The ancestor, the descendants have to continue making their pinda offerings. 42. Dosher etel kulagnanam varna sankara karakai utsarjanti jati dharma kula dharmas chashashrataha. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. This is another ramification. All welfare activities are destroyed. Utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam janardana narake niyatam baso bhavatityun shrushuma. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, please maintain them. Don't stop this war. You must stop this war. I've heard by the succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell. So if you maintain the people, then also please maintain me. Here Arjuna says that I have heard by the cyclic succession Anushushrama. So he has his quotes, but you know, the personification of Dharma is standing there looking at him right in the eye. Come on, Arjuna. Aho bhatta mahat papam kartam vyavasitavayam yidrajam sukalobena hantam svajanam udyana. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Yadi mam pratikaram ashastram shastrapanaya dhartarastrarane hanyus tanme kshaymataram bhavet. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. So here shows Arjuna's statement, exhibits his quality of detachment and being so renounced that he's willing to actually be killed on the battlefield, unarmed. And Prabhupada again says, all these symptoms are due to soft-heartedness resulting from his being a great devotee of the Lord. So Arjuna was feeling that his being killed would be proper atonement for even thinking about killing Bhishma and Drona, his guru and his grandfather. Because for such a religious person, such a pure person, to even be thinking about killing his guru and his grandfather, he feels is so sinful. Better that I suffer the atonement of being killed on the battlefield, unarmed. Okay, so that ends the last verse. Sanjayo vacha evam udbhagarjuna sankhe vrato pasta upavishat visrija sasharam chapam shokasam vignaman. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. So, as opposed to text 20, where it was said, Dhanur Udyamya Pandava, he picked up his bow, but now, Visrija Sasharam Chapam, now he rejects and puts down his bow. See, because he saw the persons on the other side, and he was affected by all of these feelings. You know, Yogamaya descended on him. He gave all of these calculated reasonings why he's not going to fight. And he was feeling completely depressed, completely full of lamentation and sorrow. And his body was shaking. He said that his mouth was drying up. His skin was burning. Prabhupada mentions also he was crying. He was having a nervous breakdown. He couldn't fight. He couldn't even hold the Gandiva bow. He had to put it down. His chapam and his bow. Totally overwhelmed. A totally different Arjuna. And this is the the Maya Arjuna. Before it was the real Arjuna. So in order for our benefit, Krishna makes him the instrument for speaking the knowledge which will liberate mankind. And that's why he places Arjuna in such a role. So he sits down in the chariot, his head in hand, puts aside the bow, and he says, lament like this. So you can imagine what's, you know, the Bhishma, Drona, Duryodhana, Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, they're all watching, you know, what's going on there? Arjuna, he's not going to fight now? He pulled his chariot in the middle, and the warriors are thinking, oh, what's this? He's going to fight us alone? Or maybe he's going to try to make peace? They couldn't understand why, you know, Arjuna was brought his chariot in the middle of all the armies, in out in front of his army. And then there is this conversation going on, and then suddenly Arjuna puts his bow down and goes like this. You know, Duryodhana must have thought, oh good, he's giving up his determination, now he's lost heart. Right? And Bhishma might have thought something like, oh, what is Arjuna doing? Won't Krishna speak to him and revive his consciousness? Like everybody might have seen it in a different way. It would be very interesting to hear the thoughts of each person on the battlefield when they saw this. But in any case, he was crying, he was shaking, he was lamenting, and he couldn't possibly see himself fighting in the battle. There was no way that he was going to fight. And that's what he tells Krishna in the next chapter. He says, hey Govinda, I cannot fight this battle. I will not fight this battle. Okay, so we'll stop there. That's the end of the chapter. So what you should do is try to give names for the two sections. And we'll begin tomorrow. If you have some questions, then we'll take them tomorrow, because we have to continue with the schedule. Right? I'm sure we could sit for an hour and discuss different things. What's that? Section? Oh, evening session. Today? Well, we could. We could take questions for today. If you have questions now, you can write them down. Does anyone have questions about what we covered today? We covered the whole chapter 1, practically. Yeah, you have? Then you can write them down. Write down the questions. And Yes, we can probably do a little bit of chapter 2, I think. Yeah. Okay.